ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. मुखं करोति वचलं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुतारिणं. नमः ॐ विष्णुवताय कृष्णप्रेस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधारा श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो टुडे इज क्लास नंबर 19 एंड वी हैव वन मोर क्लास टू गो. एंड टुडे वी विल बी कवरिंग फ्रॉम वर्सेस 56 टू 60. सो वी आर ऑलमोस्ट कमिंग टू द एंड ऑफ द प्रेयर्स बाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा. Verse number 56 will be actually the last verse that Brahma is going to speak. So, I'll read the verse. Shriyakanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo Dhuma bhumis chinta maniganam ayito yam amritam Kataganam natyam gamanam api vamshi priyasaki Sidanindam jyoti paramapi tad as वाद्यम अपि च स यत्र क्षीरादिभिः श्रवत् सुरभिभ्यश्च सुमहान् निमेषार्थाख्यो वा व्रजति न हि यत्रापि समयम् भजेष्वेतद्वीपं तमहम् इह गोलोक इतीयम् विदन्तस्ते संतक्षित विराजचारः Katipaye. Synonyms. Shriya, Lakshmis, goddesses of fortune, Kanta, loving consorts, Kantaha, the enjoyer, lover, Paramapurusha, the supreme personality of Godhead, Kalpatarava, desire trees, Dhruma, all the trees, Bhumi, the land, Chintamani Ganamayi, made of transcendental touchstone jewels, Poyam, the water, Aprutam, nectar, Kata, talking, Ganam, song, Natyam, dancing, Gamanam, walking, Api, also Vamshi, the flute, Priyasaki, constant companion, Chidanandam, transcendental bliss, Jyoti, effulgence, Param, the supreme, Api, also, Tat, that, Aswadhyam, everywhere perceived, Api, cha, also, Saha, that, Yatra, where, Kshirabdi, ocean of milk, Sravati, flows, Surabhi Abhyaha, from Surabhi cows, Cha, and Sumahan, very great, Nimesh Ardha, half a moment, Akya, called Va, or Vrajati, passes away, Na, not he, certainly, Yatra, where, Api, even, Samayaha, time, Bhaje, I worship, Shvetadvipa, Tam, that, Aham, I, Iha, here, Golokam, Goloka, Iti, Thus, Yam, which, Vidantah, no, te, de, santah, self-realized soul, kshiti, in this world, virala, seldom, charah, going, katipaye, few, translation. I worship the transcendental seat known as Shvetadvipa, whereas loving concerts, Lakshmis and their unalloyed spiritual essence practice, the amorous times of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is a purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present without past or future, there is not subject to quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a few realized souls in this world. So actually, we have seen a similar verse, some classes back, which talks about the glories of Goloka Vrindavan, where everything is so, like we were talking about Chintamani, how the science is Chintamani, and we've been talking about so many things about Goloka Vrindavan so far in our previous verses. So this verse is actually the final verse that Brahma is talking, and he's pretty much summarizing the entire beauty of Goloka Vrindavan, how beautiful it is and what all is present in Goloka Vrindavan, which is so difficult for us to fathom. So in the commentary of Jiva Goswami for this, for Brahma Samhita, as well as in the Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami very beautifully writes, he says, in Goloka, water tastes like nectar. Everything, the water that we drink here, we have, it has a peculiar taste, the water we drink in this material world. But there, it tastes just like honey. So if you turn water upside down, it oozes out like honey. So, and not only that, whatever taste you want, you will get it in the water that you're drinking. Like, for example, here, if you want to drink apple juice or mango juice, you need to have apple juice or mango juice to drink it. But whereas in the spiritual world, when you're just drinking water, if you desire, I wish this water tastes like orange juice, it's going to taste like that. So whatever taste you want, that will automatically manifest. Then Jiva Goswami says, then you can imagine what actual nectar tastes like. The nectar of the spiritual world, you can imagine how nice that should be. Because even water tastes so good, so then real nectar in the spiritual world must be something that you cannot even imagine. It's so tasty. Then the verse says, everything, every word is a song. So in the material world here, we have, there is a difference between speaking and singing. So like, for example, we are saying hello or hi. So that is speaking. But whereas if we are making a musical performance, that is singing. But whereas in the spiritual world, even if they are saying hello or how are you, even an ordinary word like that is like singing. So Jiva Goswami asks, so what is it when they really sing? How beautiful it must be. How nice it must sound when the residents of the spiritual world begin to sing. Then it says, every step is like a dance. So here we have, like, you know, even when we are running, like, for example, we have walking, running, dancing. In fact, like, for us, running is like a big hassle. Like, we're really exerting ourselves. But there, even we are walking is like dancing. Someone here who knows to dance may be very graceful. But in Goloka Vrindavan, everyone who takes a step, who just begins to walk, their walk is like a dance. So we cannot even imagine how the residents of Goloka Vrindavan must be moving about. It is so beautiful. It is so graceful. So therefore, generally, we don't see all that in the material world. In the material world, there's a lot of distinctions. So we really cannot imagine how things are in the spiritual world. So when we hear it from Shastra, like it is, the spiritual world is like this, then we develop a desire to actually go to the spiritual world and see how things are in the spiritual world. So towards the end of this verse, Brahma says, he says, Shweta Dvipam. So he's glorifying the whole thing, the whole spiritual world, and he's calling everything a Shweta Dvipa. So we saw in the previous verses when Brahma was speaking, he always concluded the verse by saying, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. But here in the final verse that he's speaking, he's saying, Bhaje Shweta Dvipam. So it is actually a similar thing, because in the previous verses he's saying he's surrendering to Govinda. Here he's just calling the entire spiritual realm as Shweta Dvipam. Actually, in the previous verses, in one of the verses, especially in the part one of Brahma Samhita, we were talking about the outer region as being a Shweta Dvipa, right? Like where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Yuga Avataras reside. That is what we have been referring as Shweta Dvipa. But here he says the entire spiritual realm is actually Shweta Dvipa. The mood of Shweta Dvipa is carried out throughout the entire spiritual realm. This verse also talks about time. It talks about how the spiritual world is illuminated. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna He says that there is no sun or moon in the spiritual world, right? It's not illuminated by sun or moon. Actually, he says that in the Bhagavad Gita. But here in this verse, we can understand that actually in the spiritual world, there is sun and moon. But the moon is always only a full moon. And the sun and the moon are actually there not for the sake of just illumination. It is there for giving a background or to help assist pastimes. Like, for example, in the spiritual world, Rasalila is going to happen. It is happening every day. But you need the moon for that. So the moon there is actually a complete full moon. There is no phases of moon. And that moon is actually a spiritual moon. It has nothing to do with the moon of this material world. And also, there's no concept of time. We have heard this many times. In the spiritual world, there is no concept of time. But actually, in the practical sense, if you look at it, there is time in the spiritual world. Because otherwise, how can you say that things are happening in the spiritual world if there is no concept of time? So there is a point when the moon comes up, when the moon sets. Time in the spiritual world is actually there, but it is there to assist the pastime. It is not the kind of time in the material world where time is running on top of everything and it's an indication of things deteriorating. Like, for example, as time moves on in the material world, I'm saying, as time moves on, we are saying we are getting old, or an object that we have at home has become old. That means time is running, so things are deteriorating in the material world. In that sense, time is not there in the spiritual world. Actually, time is there, but not in the sense of deterioration. Time is there as a background for all the pastimes to happen in the spiritual world. So it is not subject to the quality of passing away. It just provides the background for the different pastimes. So the residents of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, they forget about time. Can be stretched. Sometimes it becomes longer, sometimes time can become shorter. Like, for example, Krishna, when he wanted to have the rasa dance with the gopis, he extended the time to such an extent that it went on to a complete night of Brahma. So he can do that. In the spiritual world, everything can be done. The time can be shortened, it can be extended, but there's no deterioration along with time. So all this, the time, the sun, the moon, all this is there in the spritual world, but it is not like what it is in the material world. And everything is actually arranged by Yoga Maya for the sake of pastimes only. So, in fact, we here in this Sikshashtakam prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha. In separation of Govinda, even a minute seems like a yuga. So actually, this is all practically possible in the spiritual world. Krishna can extend the time or he can make the time shorter depending on the types of pastimes that he wants to have in the spiritual world. Then the verse talks about Chintamani. We have already read about this. We have actually done a full class on that verse, where it talks about Chintamani and other things. So we have read that the entire dust is Chintamani. So Jiva Goswami asks, if the dust is Chintamani, then more precious and beautiful should the Kaustubha jewel be? Because Kaustubha jewel is something that Krishna owns. And in fact, when we talk about Sarupya Mukti or liberation of jivas, when they get a form similar to the Lord, that is called as Sarupya. So it is one of the different kinds of liberation. So you see, these people who get liberated, they are also going to have bluish skin, they are going to have four arms, they are going to look exactly similar to the Lord. Like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is the story of Gopakumar, where he goes to Vaikuntha and he's seeing even the gatekeepers and the assistants of the Lord, everybody looks like the Lord, and he's going and paying obeisances to everybody who's crossing by, thinking that that person is Narayana. So you can imagine the beauty of Sarupya Mukti, that is, the person, the jiva, he becomes so beautiful that he looks exactly like the Lord. Like, for example, in Bhagavatam, actually Gajendra, in the Gajendra Moksham pastime, Gajendra receives Sarupya Mukti, so beautiful. He has received the form similar to the Lord. But one may ask this question, the Lord actually is so magnanimous. He's giving up, he loves the jiva so much that he's ready to share his own form with all of them. That's such a beautiful thing. That That's how great our Lord is. But there is one difference, if one may ask, is there a difference between these residents who have attained Sarupya and the Supreme Lord? Yes, there are two differences actually. One is the Kaustubha gem that the Lord always wears on his chest, and the other is the Srivatsa mark that the Lord has on his chest. So these two things actually separate the Lord or make him different from the rest of the Jivas who have attained Sarupya. So the Kaustubha jewel is very, very dear to the Lord, extremely precious, very dear. So Jiva Goswami is saying, how great must the Kaustubha jewel be if just the floor on the spiritual world is Chintamani. Like in the previous class, we were seeing how they are using these big, big Chintamani jewels as door stoppers, and the gopis, they use it, on their slippers, separation that separates the big toe from the rest of the fingers in those traditional Indian slippers, you can see. So they use it there. So that's how they use Chintamani in the spiritual world. So Jiva Goswami is saying, if Chintamani is like used like this, then imagine how beautiful and how precious the Kaustubha jewel should be in the spiritual world. So we can see this verse actually, it's summarizing a lot of what we have already seen about the glory of Vrindavan and Brahma's glorifying the residents of Vrindavan and glorifying Goloka Vrindavan, saying how everybody, they just love Krishna and everyone there is just to serve Krishna. We were talking about the sun and the moon. So the sun and the moon, they are actually manifested by the Sandini potency of the Lord to enhance pastimes. And again, we spoke about how there is no present or past or future, but still, though we say there is no time, though we say there is no present, no future, no past, still in the spiritual world, there is a proper sequence of events. So there is a sense of sequence for Krishna to have his pastimes. In the material sense, there is no time, but still in the spiritual sense, there is a very good concept of time in the spiritual world. And the verse also talks about how they speak. They speak in such auspicious words, like even when they speak normal hello, hi also, it's like singing. We were just discussing about that. There are some examples that are given by Acharyas. Like for example, the word Matsara in the material world, or rather the Sanskrit or the language that we speak here, Matsara means envy. But in the spiritual world, the same Matsara, the word Matsara is so poetic that it doesn't imply envy, rather it implies my lake. Matsara is my lake. My lake indicating Radha Kund, because she is the chief goddess of fortune, Radharani. So even the words that are spoken in the spiritual world, they have a spiritual meaning to it. Not only are they poetic, but every word has a spiritual meaning. It doesn't have any negative connotation. So that's how beautiful the speech in the spiritual world is. Then other examples are giving, like Kala means demon. Here. But actually there in the spiritual world, Kala means a woman's sash. Then Mala means defect in here, right? The meaning of Mala is defect. But there it means it's gentle, something that is gentle. So every word has nothing negative about it. So that's about the spiritual world. They have very inspiring thoughts about Krishna. Everybody is very inspired about each other. They have inspired thoughts. They're always very positive. And anything they see, any possible word they speak, actually stimulates them to think about Krishna. So like this, the abode of Krishna is full of variety, unlimited connectedness. So unless one is blessed with the Hladini Shakti of the Lord, one cannot understand these things. And this is all beyond the power of intellect, and it is purely inspired by devotion. In the purport, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has given a very, very long purport to this verse, because the verse itself is very long. But there towards the end, he uses this particular phrase. He uses asvadhyam apicha, the Supreme Lord who has become the object of enjoyment of the Supreme. He says this phrase. Phrase is used, the Supreme Lord who has become the object of enjoyment of the Supreme. That means this phrase actually refers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Param Api indicates Sri Krishna, who is the only absolute truth, And aswadhyam api means his object of enjoyment. So the glory of Radha's love for Krishna. So the glory of Radha's love for Krishna, the tasty quality rasa of Krishna, is realized by Radha, and the bliss of which Radha is conscious in the process of such realization. All these threefold bhavas, I'm just reading the purport actually, all these threefold bhavas, emotional entities, are becoming available for the enjoyment of Krishna. He attains his personality of Sri Gaurasundara. This is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is actually finishing this verse. The meaning of this verse towards the end, just before Brahma says, Vajeshveta Dvipam, when he is using these phrases, he is saying, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying, this last part of the verse is actually indicative of Lord Gaurasundara, because he is both the Vishaya and the Ashraya. Because the verse says that, in the spiritual world, it is paramapita aswadhyamapicha. That means there is the enjoyer and there is the person who is being enjoyed. So this personality, actually Gaurasundara, resides there. This is what the meaning of the last part of the verse is. It's actually, this Shweta Dvipa is the abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually a combination of Radha and Krishna. And he is both the Vishaya as well as the Ashraya. He is the object of love and he is the shelter of love. So this entire this Shweta Dvipa includes the manifestation of Sri Gaurasundara, and therefore, towards the end, when Brahma is concluding his prayers, he's saying that this place, Goloka Vrindavan, he's giving focus to Shweta Dvipa. He's giving focus to the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is residing. That is the ultimate thing about Goloka Vrindavan. So this is how the final verse takes a twist. Rather than saying Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Brahma is saying Bhajeshveta Dvipam, and he's talking about Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, who's making everything complete. So this is the meaning of verse number 56, and this has been explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati very beautifully in the entire purport. Especially the last part of the purport, you can see how this whole verse is actually talking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we'll go to verse number 57. Ato vacha Mahavishnu Bhagavantam Prajapatim Brahman Mahatva Vijnane Prajasarge cha Chenmati Panchashlokam Imam Vidyam Vatsadattam Nibhodame. Atha, then Uvacha said, Mahavishnu, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavantam, unto the glorious Prajapatim, Lord Brahma, Brahman, O Brahma, Mahatva, the glory of Godhead, Vijnani, in real knowledge, Prajasarke, in creating offspring, Cha, and Chet, if Matihi, the inclination, Panchashlokam, five shlokas, Imam, this, Vidyam, science, Vatsa, O beloved, Dattam, given, Nibodha, hear me from me. Translation. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, from me to this sign set forth in the following five shlokas. So now Krishna begins to speak. So all this while we have seen the prayers of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma's prayers are over, and he concludes his prayers in the previous verse, verse number 56, by saying Bhajeshveta Dvipam, and he is concluding everything. The entire Govindam prayers are concluded. Now Krishna is beginning to speak. Now you can see how nicely Krishna is going to summarize the signs of Krishna consciousness in five verses. Okay, so verse number 57, Krishna is going to tell Brahma what he has to follow. The last five verses, Krishna will tell Brahma how he can become perfect. And you can see the quality of the Lord that is reflected in this verse. The Lord becomes benevolent, okay, in this, especially in this verse. You can see how nice the Lord is actually talking to Brahma. He says, oh, my beloved, you know, he calls him like that. He's in a very benevolent mood. He is ready to tell Brahma five shlokas, which are extremely important. So we see Brahma in the previous verses, he satisfied Krishna by chanting the names Krishna, Govinda, Govinda, Adipurusham, all this. So he chanted with great eagerness and he had this feeling of rag. From his very birth, Brahma had this inclination to create. It was a service that he wanted to do for the Lord. So therefore, Krishna understands that. And here he says, I will tell you, the science of how, since you experience this inclination to create offspring, I will teach you the science, Krishna is saying. And he's calling Brahma as Vatsa, Vatsa, my beloved. Actually, Vatsa has many meanings. Like, for example, Vatsa is also used to indicate a calf, a very loving child. My little baby, my little beloved, all that, you know, these words are indicated by the term Vatsa. Vatsa is a very sweet Sanskrit word. So Krishna is so sweet, he's getting into this benevolent mood and he's calling Brahma Vatsa, oh my child, or oh my beloved, you can say. So Brahma is actually, he had the inclination to create, but after all these prayers and he had the vision of Goloka Vrindavan, you can see that Brahma's intention was just not to create but rather he has this intention propagate the science of devotional service to the other jivas also. That's why he becomes the Sampradaya Acharya. So he wants to liberate the jivas too. He has seen the spiritual world and he's seen the sweetness of it. Now Brahma is in a very giving mood. Brahma is also, not only does he want to create, but he also wants to liberate the people whom he is going to create. So we see in the next few verses how Krishna will very beautifully instruct Brahma about how to do his duty in Krishna consciousness. That is, perform your duty, worldly duty, because Brahma has to create, right? So he has to perform his worldly duty as desired by the Lord. How he should perform his duty as per the Lord's desire. So that is the advice, or that is what Krishna is actually going to instruct Brahma now. And if you see, Arjuna was also in the same situation. Arjuna was in the battlefield and Arjuna, he was very confused about his duty. He was like, should I fight? Should I not fight? Should I take sannyas and go away? But then Krishna told him, think about me and fight. Do your duty, but in the conscious of me, think about me and perform your duty. So you'll see the same kind of advice Krishna is giving even to Brahma in the next few verses. And it's very interesting because the entire science of Krishna consciousness is kind of encapsulated in the next few verses. But we'll do only till verse 60, because 61 and 62, maybe we can just have one short class where we do 61 and 62, but we'll do till 60 today. So I'll read verse number 58, how Krishna begins to speak. Prabuddhe jnana bhakti bhyam atmani ananda chinmaye udhyate anuttama bhaktir bhagavat prema lakshana. Prabuddhe, when excited, jnana, by cognition or knowledge, bhakti bhyam, and by devotional service, atmani, in pure spirit soul, ananda chinmayi, full of knowledge and bliss, udeti, is awakened, anuttama, super excellent, bhaktihi, devotion, bhagavat, for Krishna, prema, by love, lakshana, characterized. Translation, when the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent, unalloyed devotion, characterized by love for Godhead, is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. So this is Krishna begins to speak. And it's so nice that this verse actually talks about the three stages of Krishna consciousness. Though the translation looks very complicated, actually the meaning of the verse is that Krishna is talking about the three stages of Krishna consciousness. What is that? It is Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. So Sambandha is, who am I? Who is God and what is my relationship with God? That is Sambandha. Abhideya is the means to attain God, where here Krishna is clearly talking, it is devotional service. And then Prayojana is how to develop one's original love for God, which is the goal of life, Krishna Prema, which is the goal of life. So there are three aspects of Krishna consciousness: Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. We have heard of this several times. So Sambandha is establishing the relationship, understanding who am I, who is God, what is my relationship with Him. Abhideya is performing, how to develop a relationship with God. It is done by executing devotional service. So that becomes Abhideya. And Prayojana is to develop the highest goal of life, which is Krishna Prema. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a story of this astrologer called as Sarvajna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tells the story to Sanatana Goswami. So he says that actually there's an interesting story that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to talk to Sanatana Goswami. He'll say, once actually there was a poor man. He was a very poor man. And a learned astrologer came to meet this man. And seeing the distressed condition of this poor man, the astrologer asked him, "Why do you look so unhappy? Actually, your father was very wealthy, but it looks like he has not disclosed where he has kept this wealth, and he died at a faraway place." So this man is very poor. He had a very rich father, and the father passed away in a distant place, and he never told him where he has hidden all his wealth. So Sarvajna actually gives the news to this man about his treasure. Being Sarvajna means all-knowing, right? That is a hidden meaning, actually. This astrologer, he knew, because he had this vision, he knew that his father had actually hidden a treasure for this poor man. So like this, Sarvajna is giving the news to the poor man that actually he has some treasure. So like this, Vedic literatures, they advise one about Krishna consciousness. When one becomes inquisitive to know why he is in a distressed material condition, we are all in this material world and we are in a distressed condition, whether we agree to it or not, we are in a distressed condition. So when we have this inquisitiveness, why am I here, why am I suffering, when we where do we get the answer? We get the answer from Vedic literature, right? So the Sarvajna astrologer is compared to the Vedic literature that is given to us. Okay, the Sarvajna had the knowledge that this boy's father is actually a rich man and he has kept some treasure for him. So by the words of the astrologer, the poor man's connection with the treasure was established. So similarly, with the help of Vedic literature, we can understand that we have a connection with the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of God. Okay. Now, although this man, this poor man, was assured that his father had left him a treasure, he could not acquire this treasure by just having the knowledge. Just by knowing that my father has kept some treasure for me, I am not going to achieve the treasure, because I don't have the knowledge of where the treasure is. So therefore, the astrologer had to give him more information. The astrologer had to tell him the means by which he could actually find the treasure. Okay? Now, the astrologer goes on speaking. Not only did the astrologer say that your father has left some treasure, but the astrologer is also going to reveal to him how to find the treasure. So the astrologer said, see, the treasure is in one particular place. Okay, you should go to that place. If you dig towards the southern side, the wasps and the drones will rise and you will not get your treasure. This is the first thing. He says, go to this particular place and begin to dig. But just don't dig randomly. Don't dig towards the southern side of that spot. If you begin to dig towards the southern side, then wasps and drones will rise and they will disturb you. You will never get your treasure. This wasps and drones that the Sarvajna is talking about, see, it's an analogy. We should understand, like how I was telling Sarvajna is compared to Vedic literature. Similarly, these wasps and drones are actually compared to fruitive activity that we are doing. When we see Vedic literature, the Vedic literature offers a lot of methods. It offers karma kanda, it offers speculative knowledge, jnana kanda, it offers so many things. It's a big, it's like a big desire tree. It's going to offer you so many things. But if you're getting attracted to it, then you're going to get limited benefit. Okay, so that's why this astrologer is saying, don't dig in the southern side, you'll get distracted by wasps and drones. And these wasps and drones are compared to fruitive activity. Then the astrologer says, if you dig on the western side, there is a ghost who will create such disturbance that your hands will not even touch the treasure. So this ghost is actually compared to speculative knowledge or jnana marga. Jnana marga is like a ghost actually. If we get too deep into jnana marga, you will feel like you're troubled by a ghost. That is very true. See, Vedic literature is offering so many options, but we should not get diverted by these. Then he says, if you dig on the northern side, there is a big black snake that will devour you if you attempt to dig up the treasure. So this big black snake is compared to mystic siddhis. So many people are allured by mystic siddhis, especially in their search of God. They end up getting all these mystic siddhis and they forget their goal. They forget why I have come all this way, because it is so attractive. You get all these powers and you're able to control this and that, and you get so bewildered. So this whole attainment of mystic siddhis is compared to a big black snake. Then the astrologer says, however, if you dig up a small quantity of dirt in the eastern side, your hands will immediately touch the pot of treasure. So what is this digging in the eastern side? It is actually the path of bhakti, Krishna consciousness. So revealed scriptures conclude that one should give up fruitive activity, speculative knowledge and mystic yoga system and instead take up devotional service by which Krishna can be fully satisfied and you can attain your highest goal, which is Krishna Prema. So nice. This is a very nice story, analogy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to Sanatan Goswami about Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. What is your prayojana? It is not getting mystic siddhis, or it is not getting into this entanglement of fruitive activities or jnana marga. It is actually getting Krishna prema. So bhakti, you can see that Krishna actually in this verses, he is going to say that bhakti can be performed by carrying out our worldly duties, at the same time listening to the command of the Lord. Like I was saying, a similar situation was in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was a Kshatriya and he was in this battlefield and Krishna said, do your duty, but do your duty thinking of me. Ma manasmarya yudhyacha, he said, Krishna said. So that means thinking of me, keep me in mind and crush all your enemies. So that is the principle that Krishna is going to advise Brahma with. And if you just read the verse, I just wanted to read the verse, the translation of the verse. It says, when pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition. Okay, the first phrase, just take the first phrase. When pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition. This is actually the sambandha part of the verse. Okay, then it says, and service bhakti. This is the abhideya. Then Prayojana has spoken about super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. So actually that's how the words Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana are embedded within this translation. This whole verse talks about these three aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, and this is the process of Krishna consciousness, and this is what Brahma has to follow, is what Krishna is saying. Now the same Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana concept is there in the Chaturshloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you see verses 2, Canto 2, Chapter 9, verses 34 onwards, you will see that the Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana are actually discussed. We all know Chaturshloki is actually the condensed form of the Srimad Bhagavatam that was spoken by Krishna to Brahma. So you see even there also the first verse of the Chaturshloki, which is 2.9.34, it actually talks about Sambandha. Then the next verse will talk about Abhideya and Prayojana. And then you will see again Abhideya and Prayojana is being discussed. Actually, whenever Krishna gives the knowledge, he actually talks about Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. And this is the basis of all Vedic literature, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. And in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he talks about Dashamula. If you read the purport, you'll see why is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talking about Dashamula. Dashamula is actually is the knowledge of relationships, and it has 10 roots. Dashamula means 10 roots. But actually the word Dashamula is used in Ayurveda. In Ayurveda, there is a concept where 10 particular roots are collected, and when they are mixed together, these 10 roots, they cure all the diseases in Ayurveda. And not only does it cure the disease, but also it helps to maintain good health after the disease is being cured. So all the diseases in the heart can be cured by understanding these 10 roots of philosophy, or philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So that is what actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati elaborates in the purport. After he talks about Sambandha Bideya Prayojana, he talks about Dashamula. So what is the Dashamula in Krishna conscious philosophy? So if you look into it, it's very interesting. The first, okay, 10 Moolas, we're talking about 10 rules, okay, or 10 roots of Krishna conscious philosophy. So the very first root is that Vedic scripture is the source of all knowledge and it is the final authority, Veda Pramana. We have to take Veda Pramana. There is no other way for us to understand Krishna or Krishna consciousness. It is only through Shastra Pramana, through Veda Pramana. Therefore, Vedic scriptures is the source of all knowledge and it is root number one. Without that root, we cannot move anything in Krishna consciousness. And the remaining 9 are called as the Prameyas. We have the Pramana, we need the Prameyas. So what are those Prameyas? The 9 Prameyas are, Krishna is the only source of wisdom. He is the all-powerful absolute truth. Second, he is omnipotent. Third, he is an ocean of all bliss. 4, the living entities are his parts and parcels. 5, some of the living entities are conditioned by material nature. 6, some of the living entities are liberated. 7, everything is one and different from Lord Hari, which is the Achintya Beda Beda. And 8, unalloyed devotional service is the means to go back home, back to Godhead. And 9, love of God is the only goal. So these 10 principles together constitute the Dashamula of Krishna consciousness. This is given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now, if you look at this Dashamula that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has given, you will see that up to 7, which is Krishna is the only source of wisdom, he is omnipotent, he is ocean of bliss, all the living entities are his parts and parcels, some of the living entities are conditioned by material nature, others are liberated, but everyone and everything in this material world is actually one with and non-different from Lord Hari, which is Achintya Beda Beda. If you see all these 7 principles, including the first principle, which is Shastra as all Pramana, everything together is actually indicative of Sambandha Jnana, okay, our relationship with Krishna. 8, which is unalloyed devotional service is the means to go back to Godhead, is actually the Abhideya. And 9, love of God is the only goal, is actually the Prayojana. So if you see even the Dashamula, the 10 principles of Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious philosophy also has Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. So when we talk about Abhideya, so we saw Sambandha has 7 aspects, including the first one, if you take, it's 8 aspects, including the point that Shastra is the Pramana, it has 8 aspects, okay, Sambandha. Now, Abhideya means unalloyed devotional service is the only means to go back to Godhead. Now, Abhideya has 9-fold portions to it. What are the 9-fold? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. The 9-fold devotional services. All this 9-fold devotional service is actually Abhideya. Okay? It comes under the section of Abhideya. And Prayojana is obviously love for God. Which is the final goal which everyone has to finally attain. So this Abhideya is actually the practical performance of devotional service starting with Shravanam, Kirtanam. So like this, this Dashamula, this principle actually includes everything in Krishna consciousness. It includes Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. This is what this verse means. Okay, so this verse, if you see the verse, we saw how the verse can be split into 3 parts. The first part talks about Sambandha, second part talks about Abhideya, final part talks about Prayojana. And in the commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati elaborates on Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. And finally, he talks about Dashamula, which also has Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So this is actually the principle of Krishna consciousness, and this is what Krishna advised Brahma that you have to go through this process of Sambandha Bidaya Prayojana. You should do your duty. It's not that you escape from your duty and you just keep doing something. You say, I'm going to devotional service but not execute my duty. No, even for Brahma, same advice is given. Continue to do your duty, but do it in the conscious of me. Go through this process of Sambandha Bidaya Prayojana. So this is what this verse number 58 is actually talking about. Now we'll do 59 and 60. They're very short verses, so we can finish that fast. Pramanais tat sad acharais tad abhyasyair nirantaram bodhayan atmantarantam Bhaktam api uttamam labhet. Translation. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct and perseverance in practice. It's a very nice, straightforward sentence that Krishna says. Once he talks about Sambandha Bidaya Prayojana, he talks about how you have to do your duty, there's no escape, but do it conscious of me. He says certain things about devotional service. He says how Uttama Bhakti comes by slow degree of cultivating these three things. What are those three things which he's asking Brahma to cultivate? He's asking Brahma to take devotional scriptures, Pramana, seriously. Especially devotional scriptures which talk about other devotees like the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you see, when Prabhupada, he didn't translate every scripture. He especially chose certain scriptures that instigate devotional service in the hearts of the devotees. So Brahma is being advised to take such devotional scriptures as Pramana and hear more and more about the devotees of the Lord. That is part one that Krishna is telling Brahma to do. Second thing he says, have proper sadachara, pure conduct. That is, you should have good character. You should know how to be a proper human being, a pure soul. You should practice this whole path of devotional service without offenses. Okay? Two types of devotees are there, Vaidhi Bhaktas and Raganuga Bhaktas. So by association of these pure devotees, we can become strong. So it is very important to have good sadachar. That is something Krishna specifically telling us. That is second part. First part is take Shastra Pramana seriously. Take it seriously. Second thing, cultivate good sadachar. Have good association of advanced devotees. Third thing, he says, perseverance and practice without offenses. That is, it's not enough if we just take Shastra seriously, we just keep reading, or we just take the association of devotees. We have to also endeavor. We have to also endeavor and take Krishna consciousness seriously and practice without offenses. So when we do these three things, we can progress in Krishna consciousness. This is what Krishna is saying in this verse. Very beautiful verses. Actually, one verse flows into the other. After he talks about Sambandha Bidaya Prayojana, the entire science of Krishna consciousness, he's telling what you must do. You have to just, three principles that we have been hearing the same thing in different words again and again throughout our Krishna conscious journey. So that's what Krishna is also saying in verse number 59. Now we'll see verse number 60. Yes, yes, Shreyas. Karmam nasti yaya nivritam apunyat ya sadhayati mam eva bhaktintam eva sadhayet. Translation. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion, then whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss and who can lead to myself. This is also a very nice way of what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying these preliminary practices of Vaidhi and Sadhana Bhakti actually lead to Prema, which is love for God. So from Sadhana Bhakti, if you do Sadhana Bhakti nicely, if you perform these activities, just continuation of the previous verse actually Krishna is saying, if you just perform this, understand Sambandha Bidaya Prayojana, perform these three things that I told you, always do execute your actions in conscious of me, when you do such things, slowly over the these are all practices of Vaidhi and Sadhana Bhakti. First it is Vaidhi Bhakti, then it becomes Raghanuga Bhakti, not Sadhana Bhakti. After doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, you develop raganuga bhakti, and then you end up in developing prema, which is love for God. So if sadhana bhakti is done very nicely, you will get the final prayojana, and you will come to me and you will see me face to face. So these three verses are connected. Actually, Krishna is saying this very similar thing in these three verses. So we'll stop here. We'll just do 61 and 62 later. Because again, we can actually finish the final class fast, but I'll stop here for today.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much. Are we the only ones on? Is anybody else on? I don't know if I need to wait.
No, we are done. Thank you so much.
Okay. Very nice class. And I had a question. I'm trying to remember if I... Well, first I'll do the comment. Maybe I'll remember my question. I know what my question was. So Lord Brahma is speaking the Brahma Samhita, where is it in terms of the Bhagavatam, the Chatushloki? Is this during that time that the Brahma Samhita prayers and then Chatushloki came? Is this the elaboration of that conversation between Brahma and the Lord during that time, the Brahma Samhita, or what was my question?
Okay, that's a good question, actually, and I've always been kind of confused about this whole thing, because again, when I was listening to one lecture by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was more telling that there are two different instances, like this Brahma is different from that Brahma. Uh-huh. One is in the mood of Madhurya, this especially the Brahma who's listening to Brahma Samhita is in the mood of Madhurya, and the other Brahma who heard the Chatushloki and who's being discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is in Sakyarasa. So it seems to be a totally different thing altogether. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But the message given was similar, is what we understand. And also, in the beginning of Brahma Samhita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati pretty much says that this Brahma Samhita is an elaboration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an in-depth study of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the message, you can say, is actually very similar in both the Chatushloki or be it the Brahma Samhita. It seems to be the same in one sense.
So basically, if you think about it, it's the same class. It's the same class with the same student, with a different student, and one student gets it quickly.
Yeah,
he says, I don't know. That's just a speculation. And I was thinking that, in the end, two things that came to mind when you said that is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna, when Krishna gives him his hand, shakes hands with Brahma.
And in this one,
doesn't he hug him? Do we have in here that he hugs him, or am I thinking of something else?
Not really hug him, but Brahma gets the vision of Goloka Vrindavan and Madhuri Rasa, right?
So he's right, okay.
So there's a different mood, totally different mood.
And also something else I was thinking. I was thinking of when you said it's a different Brahma. Well, with the episode of Saraswati, Vak and Brahma. I mean, it's also said there that Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport there that was actually a different Brahma than the one that spoke the Chatushloki.
Right.
So I'm just wondering how. So this could be many different. And then the whole Varaha episode also, Srila Prabhupada explains that there's two different Varaha avataras that are being described here, one during the Nila Varaha and then the Sveta Varaha, different Varahas during different two millennia too also. So there, like you said, possibility that there is a more elaborate Srimad Bhagavatam in some realm that gives us all the details.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to, and the other comment that I wanted to make was, I remember when I started chanting the Brahma Samhita as a part of my, like sadhana, at one point. But I stopped it, but I should do it again. When I was in India, I had started it because I just felt like it. And then I was reading the translations. I mean, I'd learned them as a child from my dad, so I could kind of chant them kind of automatically once I get started, but I never really read the translations until I started chanting them on my own as an adult, recently, last year sometime. And I really, really liked, this verse that you were talking about. I think it's 58, the one that you talked about, the Dasa Mula.
Samula.
Yeah, this whole thing. No, not this one. The one you just did then. Let me see. Look, I'll go back to this one. This one. Yeah, this one, number the 59, where it says, the highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance and practice. I just loved that verse. I mean, all of a sudden I thought, oh my God, it's not supposed to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not supposed to happen overnight. It's okay. For Brahma, I mean, Brahma is slow. He's telling Brahma slow degrees, you know, and Brahma is what? You know, our time for our minute is like, you know what, not even a blink of an eye or what, you know, it's no time at all, right? So for Brahma. So, you know, if it's for Brahma it's gonna be slow degrees, I mean how much more slower is it gonna be for us? And he's a devotee, right? And then just the whole, like you said, it encapsulates all of it. Scriptural evidence, theistic conduct and practice. And I was just so overwhelmed. I was just so happy when I read that because I was thinking how wonderful that Srila Prabhupada, I mean, he gave us the complete packet, package. I mean, it was the special pill, the power pill that he gave us with everything in it. So that really made me quite happy. And I was also thinking that see, even Brahma, like you said, Arjuna, you know, he said you have to do your duty and you have to think about me. He tells Brahma. So he's telling all these advanced devotees, this is the process for you too. So it doesn't matter if it's, you know, the first, the newest neophyte who comes off the street, or if it's the sannyasi or the swami that's sitting on the vyasasana. You know, it's for everybody, it's the same process, and it continues to be the same process. And I also wonder if even in the spiritual kingdom, I wonder if there's also a constant process of evolution also of, I mean, because they said, you know, Guru Maharaj always explains that how Krishna enjoys seeing the devotees happy, and then so he does something, the devotees do something for Krishna because they see him happy, and then they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and it just keeps increasing. So I even wonder that, probably even for those that are knowledge-based, or you've got that the inquiring mind kind of person, that they probably can delve so much more into the knowledge aspect, too, of devotion, and just, you know, learn more and more wonderful things about Krishna and about devotional service. So I was just thinking about that at each time, too.
That's a very nice conversation. Very true, Mataji.
Yeah. Because we all have different moods, so some of us might want to just chant with the Lord and chant about the Lord and want to tell about all his qualities. Well, you need to know all those qualities, and they keep changing like Ananda says. They keep changing. It keeps going. Very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. What a sweet class.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Okay, so I hope you feel better and try that.
I look up that medicine too. I really want to get rid of this.
Yeah.
Actually, this class was kind of like rejuvenating for me.
good. Yeah. Okay.
Hare Bol, Mataji.
Hare Bol,
Rayo. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. As usual, it's very nice, Mataji. I don't have any questions. But
thank
very
you.
Nice class, Mataji. After a long time, I am joining this class.
Yeah. And then one more class and we'll be done. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Riyoti Mataji.
Hope you will feel better soon.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. So I think then we'll stop the recording.